Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Forgive my notes, but Deacon Paul read a lot of names.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you a little biography of each one of those names, so it won't take too long. Just kidding. I was so glad when Deacon Paul showed up. He says, can you imagine reading it in Greek? I go, well, at least in Greek it tells you how to pronounce the names. In English, you're on your own. But thank you, Deacon Paul. All kidding aside, this genealogy starts the Gospel of Matthew not because the Holy Spirit wanted him to bore us, but because this lineage, this family tree of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not only important to Jews, but it is important for all of humankind because it doesn't just give Jesus' family tree. If you know the story behind each one of these family members, and the Old Testament is there to tell us that story, then this genealogy really illustrates for us the love relationship between God and all of humankind. Even though it is showed to us and expressed through Jesus' own family tree. God's relationship, because his nature is unchanging and because it is essentially love, illustrates for us, therefore, not only because of how he treats Jesus' family, but how he treats all of us, it's the same. So I want to talk about three aspects of this genealogy. First, this genealogy shows us that God is willing to undergo incredible things in order to keep his promises to us. And the ultimate promises that God has made is that he is going to send the prophet of all prophets, the priest, the high priest of all priests, the savior of the world, the ultimate self-sacrifice for the sake of love, and the king of kings. And so he starts out because we know that all of the fall begins with the disobedience of Adam and Eve. He starts out by testing Abraham, the father of the covenant of the Old Testament. And he sends Abraham and his young son, who's about 12, Isaac, out on a long journey. And he commands Abraham to sacrifice his only son, the son of the promise. The promise of God was through Abraham's son, that he would be the father of many nations. We can't imagine the test that God was given to Abraham when he commanded him to sacrifice his son. And the interesting thing is Abraham passes the test. He shows that he loves God and trusts God even beyond what his mind can grasp. His faith is so strong that he says God will find another way. And so he almost goes through with it, but God stops him. And this shows, because he tells Abraham, that someone after your seed will come who will be the fulfillment of Isaac. Isaac is but a promise, but I will send someone after him who will become the fulfillment of that. And then we see, and I'm saying this because Abraham is in Jesus' genealogy. Another key figure is in Jesus' genealogy, David. David is, in the Old Testament, the ultimate king. He is a man after God's own heart because he repents, because he turns back to God and becomes obedient to him. And he tells David that someone after you, greater than you, will come who will be the king of all kings, who will be the fulfillment of all of my promises. And so David is in this lineage. So we look at God's hand in the work in history, and we're able to see all of the promises of God fulfilled through each one of these people. The second point that I wanted to make through this genealogy is that God is willing and able to work through the most impossible circumstances in order to save his people, us. I'm going to go through some of these circumstances as we think about this genealogy, because we're talking about the lives of the people that Deacon Paul read. Abraham wandered from Babylon to Egypt and back to the Promised Land. If you look on a map and you see back then, thousands of years ago, the geographic distance that he wandered and the hardships that he endured, it is amazing. He narrowly escapes death time and time again. Although he and his wife were childless beyond the normal time, God provides him a son that would be eventually the father of many nations. His son Isaac was almost sacrificed, as I said, on a mountain. Jacob was nearly killed by his own brothers, and he had a difficult time even finding a wife. At the time he nearly died, at the time that he died, there were only 100 people numbered among the Hebrew people. Judah's generation would have died in a famine had it not been for his brother Joseph, who was then sold into slavery. The nation of Israel existed 400 plus years in slavery to the Egyptians, almost and seemingly forgotten by God. Having been freed from Israel by escaping through the Red Sea, having freed Israel from the Egyptians by escaping through the Red Sea, they wandered in the desert seemingly aimlessly for 40 whole years. God, because he was disappointed with the nation, did not allow that generation to enter into the Promised Land, but they had to wait an entire next generation in order to enter. Once they were in the Promised Land, they had to fight the people that lived there in order to be obedient to God. Time and again, they turned to false gods, playing the harlot in their relationship with God. But God kept his promises and remained faithful to these people. By the time we get to Jesse, who is King David's father, and we get to King David and Solomon himself, this nation of the Hebrew people, only 100 at the time of Joseph, is now a mighty nation. But they have become spiritually corrupt, worshiping other gods. It would have been understandable if God at that point would have said, "You are impossible. It's not worth it. I'm going to stop this relationship and start it with another people who are more faithful." But he kept working through this lineage that we heard today because he had promised that through them the Savior of the world would come. So God allowed his people to be taken into exile rather than just allowing them to be killed off. For generation upon generation, they were in exile and suffering. It's not that God caused it, but he did allow it. Nations came and went while they were in exile. The Babylonians were eventually defeated by the Persians. The Persians allowed the Jews to go back to the Promised Land. Then the Persians were defeated by the Greeks. And under Alexander the Great, under God's providence, he united all of those lands and all of those people under one language, Greek. And then the Romans came after the Greeks, and they brought peace, and they brought roads and organization and government to the entire area around the Mediterranean world. And all of this factors into what we call the fullness of time. All through this, God is preserving the Jewish people. And then Jacob gives birth to a son named Joseph, who is betrothed to a young virgin named Mary. And she miraculously gives birth to a son they call Jesus, and he is the Messiah. So this brings me to my third point. That God allows the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, to be filled with people who have skeletons in their closet, who are sinners, who are struggling, who are imperfect, precisely because this is who he came to save. And the scriptures do not hide it at all. If I were giving my genealogy in public or for all of the world to see, I would try to spin it a little bit. But the Bible is transparent. Listen to this. Abraham twice said his wife was his sister, lying, so that he would not have to fight for her. Isaac did the same thing, saying that his wife too was his sister, and then he got caught snuggling with her. Not in the 21st century, we're talking way long ago. Jacob struggled. He lied to his father, he cheated his brother, and he stole from his father-in-law. He also did some really good things. Judah sold his own brother into slavery, and then he slept with his daughter-in-law, thinking that she was a prostitute. Rahab, who's listed in the genealogy, is a prostitute, was a prostitute. Ruth was a foreigner. She was not Jewish. She was a Gentile. She was from a despised country. David committed adultery and then had the woman's husband murdered by his own command. Solomon, who came after David, had many, many, many wives. And he allowed them to worship false idols, and they eventually had an influence on him. Rehoboam split the nation of Israel into two because of his harsh ways. Many of the kings in the line of Jesus struggled. They worshiped false gods. They did many cruel things. One even sacrificed his own son to an idol. The point here is that all of Jesus' descendants were very human. They had human weaknesses, some worse than others. The point is that God allows murderers, cheaters, liars, prostitutes, foreigners, swindlers to be a part of the plan and the history of salvation history. All because they are very much like us. And it's symbolic of the fact that God does come to save sinners. All of this shows that God is willing to go to incredible lengths to keep his promises. All of this shows that God is able to go through incredible circumstances to bring to us the Savior of the world, the High Priest of all priests, and the King of kings. All of this shows, my dear brothers and sisters, that he is willing to work through imperfect people in order to save imperfect people just like you and me. So when we look at the genealogy, don't just get caught up in the names and don't even worry about the details themselves. Read the Old Testament, understand the stories related to these people, and see through this series of lies and this weaving of a tale of a story from the beginning of time until the end of time, the love of God for each of us in bringing forth Jesus Christ. And then you'll see why the church places it on the Sunday before the Nativity, the Sunday before Christmas. Because what better preparation can we have to be reminded of God's incredible love for us and what he was willing to do and who he included in his family, so that you never doubt that you are worthy, because God makes you worthy of his unfathomable love. May we take these next couple of days to truly center our hearts on this incredible gift that we are receiving in Jesus Christ, and let our hearts become the dwelling place for our Lord during this Christmas season. Amen.